Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter. I would say you could follow me on Twitter on X, but actually don't follow me right now on Twitter on X. And if, God forbid, if I sent you a DM this weekend, it's not me. Do not click on it because
it's amazing. It's an amazing opportunity you sent me over the weekend. I wanted to talk about it on air.
Yeah. Please don't, because I think that's exactly how I got into the situation that I'm in. There was a nice follower that has a podcast that I was thought I was reviewing, and God, it was just awful.
Oh no.
Yeah,
oh no.
I think that's how we all got here. So don't follow me there. I don't know if I'm ever getting it back.
It's time for Blue Sky, Jeffrey. Do you have a Blue Sky?
I do not have a Blue Sky. I don't have Threads. I don't have any.
Just get one already.
I don't know, man. I was on Twitter basically like day one.
Well, you can still, maybe you'll get it back, but you know.
I'm not hopeful.
Really?
No, it's not looking good. Not looking good at all. So that's, of course, the Twitter update. As always, you can listen on 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial, though, you can listen on the Odyssey app. You can also listen on the TuneIn radio app as well as the iHeart radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, guys. As someone who was on Blue Sky for like a couple weeks, it's just nothing going on there. Very dry.
Everyone, I don't know. Like,
all right.
I just always love when it's like, oh, we don't like this guy, so let's go to this other place. It's like, you know who probably is running the other place? Like, that was when I realized Up was down. When everyone tried to make Threads a thing, I was like, really? In our moment of crisis, the solution is turn to Zuckerberg? Like,
I am also on Threads. I don't post there. I kind of just lurk around. Also, meh.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The biggest thing for me is just I do not have, like, the news source. So don't go to current events for Writer Than Right trivia.
Ooh, that's a good idea, actually.
Thank you. Wow. God, you just friends like these.
You brought it on yourself. You did say it.
He, of course, is the MC of Fun and Games here in Memphis. He's the host of Writer Than Right trivia. We'll have holiday market tickets on Thursday to give away. The website, CerritoEntertainment.com. He's on the Everything app at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Great to see you, Jeffrey.
It's great to actually see you for the first time in like a month.
Yeah, I've been here. You've been here. We haven't been here on the same days.
Yes.
But
even when we plan to.
Right, exactly. I hope you're doing well. This is a great distraction for you. What part of our job is to distract people from the unfortunate, terrible things that happen in life all the time. So that's what we're here to do today. As well. And the Tigers, thank goodness, my goodness, George can attest, like I was worried we weren't going to be able to do a bracket update today, that it would be the final bracket update if it was going to happen. But the Tigers are still in the bracket. So later on, we'll look at the playoff projections, which as I texted you on Saturday, Jeffrey, like it's still in play. The number 5, Ole Miss versus number 12 Memphis in Oxford in the college football playoffs is still in play, and that's awesome. So, really, who cares that we didn't have game day? Everything else is going great for the Tigers, for the Grizzlies.
Reese Davis wanted to have game day here.
Yeah. Well, he could have just come by himself.
I don't know if that's how his contract works, but we'll start off with some overreactions. We will start with that game from Saturday. We'll get into just another loaded sports weekend. Also today, guys, Sports Equinox. Happy Sports Equinox Day.
Oh, is it? We found one out.
NFL.
Yep.
MLB. Hockey and NBA.
All tonight.
Oof. So
this is it.
We've done it. We've done it all. So we'll get into more of those playoff predictions during the next segment. Might also get into a little bit of television updates for our TV timeout. We'll get into the list. Of course, tonight, hoops for St. Jude Classic. Tigers taking on Arkansas. We have Cal's big return. Hopefully it's a wonderful event for everyone that plans to attend. So I think vibes seem to be high. Hopefully it delivers. So we'll talk about that. And more than CJ Hurt of Grind City Media is going to join the program like he does each and every Monday. We'll talk some Grizzlies and more with him. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I think, Kevin, let's start with that game from Saturday, because I think my first overreaction to Saturday was that was a game that we haven't seen Ryan Silverfield win. And this is what I mean by that. We've seen the games against Power 5 teams or Power 4 teams, however you want to phrase it. We've seen the big wins. We've seen a lot of highs. But we've gotten to certain stretches in almost every single year where you come up to the game and you know it's basically do or die. And if you win this game, there's nothing that has structurally changed after losing to UAB by winning that game. You now completely control your own destiny. If you win out, you'll host the AAC championship game for the right to be the playoff contender. But what we've seen is, think about the Tulane games where it's like, all right, they've taken a loss, but they win this Tulane game, they can still have control of their own destiny. Or an SMU game where if they win it, they can still work their way into the championship game. This is one of those games where I feel like what we've seen more times than not, this is a game that Memphis loses. Maybe they go on and they win a non-threatening, they have a non-threatening win against like Navy or whatnot. Like you find your way to a 10-win season, but you'd played yourself out of the competitive part of the schedule where you're not really competing for the conference title. And to me, like that's a step. Like that's something different about this season, because I told George kind of my big overreaction. My overreaction on Monday, had I been able to be here, my overreaction would have been like, I guess we're just destined to do this forever, because it just felt like we were getting off to another, with that UAB loss, it was going to rhyme with every other season we've seen under Silverfield. But I just felt like Saturday was something different, and hats off to everyone involved.
It definitely was. Well, the big difference, I mean, it's the same coach the Tigers have had for the past few years, but the big difference, is it the quarterback, Jeffrey, or is that what we're seeing here? With Lewis at quarterback, I feel very confident in this team's ability.
I don't want to say it's just one person. He was obviously...
I'm not saying it's one person, is a difference than we've seen any other season, is that we've got this guy.
The reason why I bring that up is there's other games going on Saturday, and the whole time I'm watching the Memphis game, I'm like, how is this happening? In the sense that, not like, oh, there was no way I could believe that Memphis was going to beat USF, because George and DeMichael and I talked about it on Friday, that it wasn't that we didn't think that Memphis could win. It was like we just didn't know how it was going to go. And then when you looked at how the game was playing out, where Memphis could not stay on the field on offense, I think they were 1 of 7 on third downs in the first half.
Yeah.
It felt like whatever USF wanted to do offensively, they were just moving the ball at will. And it felt like the only positive you could take away from the first half was when you thought about the first half, and yes, they make the field goal to make it a 2-score lead at halftime, but I just remember I was walking my dog at half, and I was like, they're only down 10. Like, I don't have a great explanation for it, but they're only down 10. And then during the rewatch that I did yesterday, I still don't like have a great explanation of what we watched other than... I give credit to Memphis. Like, down the stretch, it was making more plays. It was when they got into third and long. to your point about Brendan Lewis.
Yeah.
He made some big throws that we haven't seen him consistently make. I think maybe from the defensive perspective, and y'all tell me if you feel differently, it just felt like they maybe tackled a little bit better. Like in the first half, it felt like they got into a lot of positions where if a guy would miss a tackle, then you just see a massive chunk play. And they were just constantly behind the chains. Whereas, yes, they ripped off the big run after the missed field goal, the 73-yard touchdown. But like that really wasn't a ton of missed tackles. That was more of like they just kind of got formationed out of it, and then the guy just showed speed and beat everybody to the end zone. But like this is one of those games where I think maybe you can just chalk it up to Memphis was tougher. Like you know what I mean? Like in the end, it's like they did not let down. Like they could have, there were multiple opportunities they could have quit. They just kept fighting. They kept fighting. And lo and behold, they made just enough plays. And then I do think a huge part of it, and honestly, it's not like it was a poor call, but it's a call oftentimes you don't see. You do not see a ton of holding calls in the scramble down at the end where the offense is just trying to move the ball down and get a field goal. Like you don't see that flag. It was a clear and obvious hold, and so good on the crew for calling it. But that was huge to move it from a 42-yard field goal to a 52-yard field goal. I felt like that was a significant part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis, I mean, it's the second 14-point comeback this season, and those don't just happen. You can't do that with just anybody at quarterback.
Well, they almost had one the week before. They just couldn't finish the drive.
Exactly. And there was, like, everything about the game on Saturday made you feel like, yeah, this is the team that's going to do what we've talked about Memphis doing, which is go to the playoffs, that take advantage of the opportunity that's there, how it's laid out. It felt like that. The only thing is, like, the UAB week has, you know, it put everything. It takes one week, it takes one game, and that's what's exciting about college football. And that was what was once exciting only about a few teams at the top, which now trickles down to teams like Memphis and South Florida can have these big games with big stakes, you know, the last week of October, right? Like this was awesome. It goes to show how the playoff system is working, and we will look at the brackets later on. But I'll give a shout out, Ryan Silverfield. Great job. And based off of what else has happened over the weekend and the what is going to be arguably the most high-profile, top-ranked coaching carousel we have ever seen in the history of college football. It's going to be tough to hold on to Ryan Silverfield. He's playing now for him, his opportunity down the line. If he wants to leave,
sure,
he might have that opportunity to leave to a school in a better conference. Whether or not it's a better position for him, I don't know. We'll see. Because I'd rather be at Memphis than in the bottom of any of the big conferences. But, things are going to open up. Things are going to open up for sure. But that's another conversation.
We'll definitely get into that aspect of it. Because normally, I always think that we can, in this era, we can really overhype things. This
no
year's coaching cares. Because we haven't even seen.
After this weekend, it's official. LSU opening up is an official. This is the best job opportunities out there. If you have Florida, Penn State, and LSU all in the same year.
And we haven't even gotten into, like, what happens the next time Florida State
Arkansas
loses.
Arkansas is going to be open.
Like, Auburn.
Auburn might be open.
Now, like, does Auburn's math change now? Because all these other jobs are open.
Do you wait another year? With
do you want to wait and see, like, when you're higher up on the totem pole? Like, I think
Florida State could open. I mean,
yes, we haven't even gotten to the part of where other jobs open because people start taking jobs.
Right.
Like, we haven't even gotten into that aspect of it, so we'll discuss that. But I also kind of want to go back to Saturday as well.
Yes.
Because DeMichael and I were texting throughout the game. See if y'all felt this way. I thought the first half was particularly deflating because the way USF came out, they have the turnover early. They were kind of sloppy. Like, I did not feel like, oh, this is just a knockout punch where I'm just sitting there going, like, USF's just playing better than they are. It's like, what made it kind of depressing to me is I didn't feel like USF played particularly sharp, but in the first half, Memphis just wasn't able to take advantage of it at all. It did feel like the drive before the half, and I know, as I said, I know USF goes down, gets a field goal, makes it back to a two-score game. But the way that the game felt, if they could not have put a drive together then, I really did think, like, oh, man, maybe they're just going to fall behind so much to a level and they're just going to have no confidence. It felt like they could actually build upon that drive at the end of the half.
Yeah, and I mean, you said, oh, it didn't look like this is something we haven't seen them do before. But I mean, on paper, it is like Memphis wins these big 11 o'clock home games. I mean, that does happen.
Yeah, but it's more of the we've seen them have a power win early in the year, but then maybe they've tripped up in a game and they get to like.
Losses usually happen in the dark of the night, Jeffrey. Well, they happen if they're you're not watching the game because you're at a Halloween party or
like a Friday
something
night
else is going on.
Like, I don't know. This game
just forget. Yeah, it's Friday. You forget the game is even there's football happening for a minute. Like that's when the Navy game just slips up. It happens the week after you're still celebrating the big win from the week before. And that's if they lose again, that's what it's going to happen. Like the UAB game was one that was like, what? Took a lot of people by surprise. A lot of people weren't even paying attention to that game because it was supposed to be an easy win.
No, there's no question. The UAB game has killed their margin for error. But like to me,
they cannot lose. They cannot lose, right? They can't lose.
No, I mean, they have to win out. Like
luckily it's possible based off of the schedule this year.
So. Correct. Because now this all sets up for, listen, don't stub your toe. And then you got two games that matter. It's going to be Tulane at home, and it's going to be Navy at home. And like that's what it comes down to. Then if you take care of business there, you're going to host whoever ends up playing in the championship game. Because at that point, your one loss is this is where the one loss being to UAB kind of helps you, is because all the other contenders, you're basically going to have all the head-to-heads against.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, sure, yeah. Well,
think about it. Of all the teams that could finish with one loss, still you would be looking at one conference loss, I should say. Navy, USF, Tulane. I mean, I guess it's possible, right? North Texas only has one loss to USF.
Yep.
Who does North Tech? Can you remind?
Let me pull that real.
North
quick
Texas's
for
remaining
you.
Schedule, like,
but
I guess
it could come down to Jeff. It could come down to Navy ruining the season again for the Memphis Tigers. It could come down to that.
So North Texas.
That's the thing to be concerned about. Am I should I be concerned? I always you have overreaction Monday. I have. I'm worried about Monday on.
Well, I mean, that's also that
about
is
stuff. That's what I'm worried
that's
about.
The difference in this era now, where it's like, okay, with every win comes more pressure.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because it used to just be, all right, you're just playing for a conference title, but now it's like you are playing for a playoff berth, and that to me feels like something different.
It's, yeah. Well, it is something different. It's next level, I believe. I think it can change. Look, I wasn't that disappointed that Memphis didn't get game day because we've done it before. Yes, it's great. It's a high-profile spot, but it's 1 week blip. It's off the radar. There's not much about it. Going to the playoffs can have that impact. I seriously, like, South Florida is on the verge of challenging Memphis to being the best available non-power school. I believe that. Memphis is in the position right now. We've talked about it for years. Memphis is the best school, not in a power conference. But South Florida is on the verge of taking
that
spot.
They certainly have the same aspirations.
And it really, as simple as it is, it breaks down to, like, it can happen on the football field. Like, the game results matter. The football games matter. And this weekend, Memphis won. So, at least they have a slight leg up in that situation.
And it was nice to finally see, like, because Calkins was asking me about the fake injuries or and Gullish whatnot. What I thought was nice to see was a coach just being a sore loser after losing to Memphis. Like, Gullish was just doing the things that we all do. Like, when you lose a big game, like, you just start lashing out. And he was just lashing out.
I want to look at the Memphis schedule real quick, because we've got the Friday night Halloween game against Rice.
Correct.
Which the only concern there is it's Friday night on Halloween. Could there be some spookiness?
Well,
that,
and it's just it's a,
some
it's
voodoo
a,
out there. That calls
it
short
a game. Spooky season.
It's a short week. It's spooky season. It's a
there's something
be a
in the
sleepy
air.
Road yeah. game, and Rice is functional.
And then Memphis
like
plays Tulane,
good, but they're functional
this year.
Yeah,
Memphis
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
another Friday game the next week.
Correct.
Against Tulane, which at the beginning of
and
the
I believe
season,
Tulane on Thursday goes to UTSA.
This week?
Yeah, I think that's their – because
– I mean, this is not an easy end of the schedule when you look at the fact that you've got Friday games thrown in a game against Tulane. You mentioned the East Carolina game could be – because it's sandwiched between
trap
the Navy game.
Central.
A nice trap.
Trap Central, also weird travel.
Yes.
On the road.
Always a weird road game to get to. But it's also just where it is on the calendar just is just a trap game special.
Yes. This week, October 30th, Thursday, Tulane at UTSA.
Correct. Because I believe it's that
tickets, is $9.
Other than lots of great sections still available in the Alamo Dome. But I believe
$9 seats.
I believe,
and then don't
projection wise, that is Tulane's toughest remaining game other than the game.
Other than that, they've got Florida Atlantic at home, at Temple, and Charlotte.
And I guess
if we go back to this, Jeffrey, real quick, on the schedule front, like I'm curious on what you think, because we've talked about this is the schedule lined up for this to be the year for Memphis, right?
Yeah.
The quarterback, everything's lining up. It's great. But this end of the schedule is not, you're playing on Fridays, but you're also playing on Thanksgiving. So the Navy game, not only that.
I believe we have a bye though, right?
There is a bye in between.
Right, because it's not like, oh, they play Saturday and then got to turn around and play Thanksgiving. I think they have like the full.
They have a full. Yeah,
they have a week.
Yeah, they got a week in between. But, I mean, routine is out the window,
sure.
Right, when you're playing on Thanksgiving Day. And the pressure is even more. Like, if you need any more pressure, like, here we are, you're playing on Thanksgiving, the day of football. It's an awesome opportunity for Memphis, again, to win the season there, have a high-profile win against a team that people think is you could knock them off.
Now, going back to it, because I was looking at
but
the
that's
North.
Two Fridays and one Thanksgiving, just for the record. Two Fridays and one Thanksgiving left.
On the docket.
Right.
That Navy game gets really interesting, because should Memphis win that, that essentially disqualifies Navy totally if they lose to North Texas in Denton this weekend.
Yes,
Saturday.
And Navy still has Notre Dame. So if we could, you know, what does Navy do with Notre
Dame?
That's
not a conference.
So, I don't care, but I'm saying, like, for the importance of the game playing Navy, you know, it's always Navy. They always play each other. They always play. But, like,
and for what it's worth, too, North Texas absolutely could go out there and do. I mean, their quarterback just threw for 600 in a game.
Correct. Also important to note, Navy also, on top of being on the road this week, they have Notre Dame next week.
South Florida.
And then they get South Florida.
But they get both.
But that is in Annapolis.
But they still.
That's where things could get a little.
Those three games in a row for them. I mean,
correct.
They get a bye week as well, but
right.
Before Memphis on Thanksgiving. But it's. And so they've got a tough stretch. They're going to prove themselves. I mean, Navy's going to. If they could still earn that spot, and they could earn the spot in the, you know, playoffs. So a lot of people after this weekend, because of the chaos in the American, are starting to predict Navy. And the reason I bring up Notre Dame is because that's the game that really can solidify them into the conversation if they win or play Notre Dame close, which, you know, everybody's talking. Notre Dame hasn't, you know, beaten anybody this year, by the way. So just for the record, they haven't beaten anybody.
I can tell you this right now.
They haven't beaten anybody.
I'm going to lay whatever the number is when Navy goes to Notre Dame.
Oh, that's at South Bend?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. If you've noticed, since Marcus Freeman's taken over, Marcus Freeman doesn't get navied.
Right.
He lays the hammer on them.
All right. Well, that's
yes, they do not have a quality win, but also they
that
are
would be one for
they
them.
Are in this spot where every week their two losses continue to look better.
Sure, but they have zero good wins, and like their only good win is going to be against Navy if they when they like you said.
I mean, I guess the USC win's decent.
It's getting better. That one's looking better. They're in top 25 now, right?
NC State, no. They hammered Boise. And Boise's okay, but I mean,
It's too early in the season to debate this, but like we could get into
it's never playoff. Kevin. It is never too early to debate whether or not you've played somebody.
For
in
sure,
fact,
it's not that. But
some would argue it is important to argue whether or not they've actually played anybody.
It is because you know I've been pushing back against Notre Dame because it was absurd that they were at the top 25 with the two losses. I agree
with you on that.
They have not had a win. Like set aside, yes, their losses are great, but USC, I'll give them USC, but they have not beaten anybody. Where are their ranked wins? Not ranked at the time, USC, right? Like, they haven't beaten a ranked team.
USC was...
I don't think...
Were they not ranked at the time?
They're 20th at the time.
At the time, they
were 20th. USC get back in after losing?
I think they lost... I think they're back in this weekend.
Because I think they had a bye week.
Yeah, they're in now. They're in now. They're a ranked team now. But that's
USC's
just something...
back in at 23.
To see. And it's interesting. What strategy does Notre Dame take with their scheduling going forward based off of how their schedule ends up? But that's a different story.
Well, basically their new strategy is going to be everyone's trying to – so they're going to do the Clemson 10-year deal. So they're going to play Clemson every year. And then the way that the ACC is setting it up, it's like they're going to play Miami and they're going to play Florida State more frequently.
So it's, yeah.
But, I mean, to your point, they agreed to do that because they knew, hey, there's only so much, like, we can beef up the schedule. Like, they're having to, like, because they got into this spot that we were talking about. Like, they are thanking, they're thanking the good Lord right now that USC has been not terrible. Because after they had lost to Texas A&M, to your point, it's not like a win against Purdue at home was changing any hearts and minds. That Arkansas win fired their coach, not changing hearts and minds. They were good against Boise, but it wasn't like the, okay, we saw, like, we just haven't been able to get the Boise-South Florida loss out of our heads. So
I was going to say, I thought South Florida beat them worse than that.
And then they did, actually, because I think it was, didn't South Florida win like 34-7?
It might have been something like that. Well, I just meant from watching those games. I was like,
shh. From the weekend, though, Jeffrey, you got some more overreactions. I'm always curious outside of the Memphis game. I mean, you know, it's we need to overreact in the most positive ways after the overreacting in the opposite direction last week. And the fact that the playoff hopes are still alive, so.
I think my other big overreaction is just like this coaching carousel is just going to be insane. We're already now up to a reality where Penn State, Florida, LSU are all known looking for new coaches, and it is not November yet.
Were you expecting LSU to pull the trigger this weekend and make it happen?
So I think it was going to be like, if you would have told me LSU is going to get smoked at home and the entire second half, the whole story is going to be, look how many people are not here, I would have said, yes, that is very much on the table.
But let's be, it was, you want to talk about your loss to a good, they lost to a good team, right? Like Notre Dame has this loss, we move them up in the rankings.
Right, but
LSU Notre fires Dame, their coach.
Notre Dame didn't get absolutely filleted
at home. Been at both schools. What's that?
But Notre Dame didn't get absolutely like filleted. They didn't give up 35 unanswered.
Yeah.
Like,
it was an embarrassment.
Notre
for
Dame
LSU.
Dropped an extra point.
I mean, it's an embarrassment. The government's tweeting that we should not raise prices.
Kevin, they made the decision to fire him at the governor's mansion.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big deal.
I mean, it's insane. And then on top of that, like, we haven't even gotten to it. Okay. Well, what happens when Florida State loses another game? Does that motivate?
Right.
Like, we are in this weird spot now. And I almost wonder if the 12-team playoff has made the trigger even quicker.
Well, because you have to be one of the 12, it's because it's harder to be one of the four.
Correct.
But now if you're one of the 12, it should be easier. And if you're not getting there, yeah. But can we agree that LSU is it's the best job out there, right?
I still believe LSU is the best.
In the current environment, because it's confusing, because we're in this new era
right.
of the playoffs and NIL. LSU's still the best job currently available, and no matter what else happens, it still will be. It'll be better than Florida State.
I think so. My only hesitation is I would like to see some proof of concept that LSU in this era is still the type of job that it was even 5 years ago. Because on the one hand, you've had, until Kelly, three consecutive coaches win a national title within their first
right.
four seasons.
Yeah.
Two of which are certifiable idiots.
right. Like you say, anybody.
Correct.
Les Miles could do it.
Right. There's two coaches that even LSU didn't want to be their coach, and they still won national titles. My only hesitation right now is if the standard is still national title, I am not as convinced that LSU has just as good of a chance as Ohio State. Honestly, just as good of a chance as Michigan.
I think LSU might have made the wrong hire. I think you got to be. I think that was the problem.
Well, I mean, I think the person that's actually like the other overreaction to this is like Scott Woodward seems to be getting away with this, and Scott Woodward is personally responsible for the two biggest buyouts we've ever seen. He's responsible for Jimbo Fisher's buyout for A&M, and he's now responsible for Brian Kelly's.
Yeah,
you combine it, I think it's $128 million.
yes.
In yeah. two contracts.
It was 70 God, and change are, and 50 and change.
God, how big of a Christmas gift does Jimmy Sexton have to send to Scott Woodward? Although I guess technically Kelly's a Trace Armstrong guy.
But, I mean, does it help that LSU has, as far as all the teams in the SEC, has the 100% backing of the state? There's a lot of these SEC schools are,
yeah,
Georgia kind of does.
Well, you're
but,
the only game in town.
Right, in the state.
In like, a talent-rich state.
Yeah.
and you have very good support. I guess I just keep wondering this. How can we fund everything? And I'm not just talking about all sports. I'm talking about the same people that are passing the hat on when they're going from suite to suite on Saturday night at Tiger Stadium saying we got to get the money together to pay for this. How are you then funding the roster next year? How are you then paying another 100 and some odd million to whatever the next coaching staff is going to be like?
Are you worried that it's going to impact the budget of whoever the next coach?
Or at least some children's hospitals in the state of Louisiana? Like, I know that's always been a nice piggy bank for them, where, hey, like, you can just go steal some money from that to pay off a couple of guys. But, I mean, like,
if you were a coach, LSU would be the job that you would consider leaving your school.
I will say this.
It all leads to Lane Kiffin.
If you were a Florida Gator and you had nothing but Lane Kiffin hearts in your eyes, yesterday was a bad day for you.
Because I don't think he leaves for Florida, but I do think he leaves for...
I think he would. Now, this is the other thing, though. From the Ole Miss perspective, this is very simple. Do I think in a vacuum Lane Kiffin would never leave Ole Miss? Absolutely not. But I do know, as competitive as he is and as much as he likes the spotlight of a big game, if Ole Miss is involved in the playoff, he is not leaving. As like the best case for Ole Miss fans is have him go 11-1,
yep,
and they're either going to be the 5 seed or they're going to be in Atlanta playing for the right to be a quarterfinalist and getting the bye. Because I really do think it's going to be difficult for a school to sit there and wait and say, we've got to let him get beat on January 1 so that we can hire him before the portal opens on January 2.
Did you see Lane's quote from earlier this afternoon on the Pat McAfee show?
So George was filling me in because, again, these are things that I would have normally seen on the Everything app, but, again, do not have the Everything app right now.
He said, quote, I have never made a decision based off of money, nor will I. I've seen too many examples in life where money does not buy happiness. So I'm never.
Sounds like Rory with Liv, but continue.
I'm never going to make a decision off
of
money.
Do you know how many hot rooms in my house I don't even use?
Nor do I care about it. Jimmy Sexton gets really mad when I say that. I hope that Jimmy Sexton has really become a character.
Right. I would also say this.
He's Wilson in a lot of ways on Home Improvement. Like, they mostly talk about him. You never really see him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can make the argument that's what you want your agent to be.
But he's a character, though, like you said.
I think the difference, though, is that is an easy thing to say right now because you're unquestionably the number one candidate at all these places. So, you know what I mean? Like,
if he wants to leave, he can leave. There's no doubt about that now.
I will say it this way. If Lane Kiffin wants to be the LSU coach, he can be the LSU coach. If he wants to be the Florida coach, he can be the Florida coach.
If he wants to be the Ole Miss coach, he can be the Ole Miss coach.
I think it's probably true if he would let Penn State know he wants to be the Penn State coach, he could be the Penn State coach. But I also know Lane is wired exactly like I am. We don't want to be cold.
Yeah. He's not going there. It could be going to LSU.
But I also, this is the other thing I think people
need. But
they
went out. Like, couldn't they not just wait to do the, wait to hire and wait till the end?
So the problem is if Ole Miss goes 11-1, and I think if they go 11-1, I think the odds would be pretty good that they would be in the SEC championship game, but it's not a given because A&M is still undefeated. Georgia would have the head-to-head, and Georgia only has one loss.
Yeah, Alabama
only has one loss. And let's see, their remainder is LSU, the ghost of LSU at home next week. I believe they obviously have Auburn on the road to end the season. Isn't there one more SEC, like, they'll be kind of heavily favored?
Is this Alabama?
Yeah.
They have Oklahoma.
OU. And that game is in Tuscaloosa.
Correct.
Is that the remainder? And is there like a SoCon game, a SoCon Saturday game in there?
Arguably worse. They play Eastern Illinois.
All right. So there's a, I guess, what used to be an MV, a Missouri Valley.
Where even are they? They are, they're in the OVC.
There we go. Yeah,
OVC, now, Big South.
Now I think the Missouri Valley doesn't have any teams from Missouri in it.
Weird.
Yeah, that's even that level seeing things that don't make sense.
That's the ACC.
Yeah. I mean, we did have the classic Cal-Virginia Tech ACC game, which was a special loss for your boy. when you see a game that you've been covering with the underdog the entire game, and then you're panicked because you know it's going to overtime, and then you win the toss or you lose the toss, and so you go on offense first in overtime, and that sets up the only way you can really have the double loser, where okay, now Virginia Tech's going to get the ball in the second overtime first. They'll score if they go for, they have to go for two. They can get up eight. And then if Cal doesn't, like, goes for it, doesn't score, it's game over. Like, I just needed a situation where either Cal made the field goal or Va Tech made a field goal. And then ESPN even did the kicker dirty. The Virginia Tech kid on game winners was 10 for 10. I was like, well, this has got no chance. And then just doinks it off the upright. So that was an awesome way to start off the weekend. But the whole point being, I think what people are going to have to wrap their heads around is some of these coaches that you think may not be the quote-unquote best candidate, they might wind up getting the gig because they're going to be available at the end of the season. So, for instance, Missouri this weekend, after losing their starting quarterback, and keep in mind, their other number two quarterback got hurt on the first play of the year when they put them both on the field at the same time. Well, Eli Drinkwitz now is in a position where he's probably not going to have a playoff team. They've taken their second loss and probably starting a true freshman. Another loss is coming somewhere down the line. So Eli Drinkwitz is not going to be a part of the playoff conversation. If you need somebody ready to go at the end of Thanksgiving, he's going to be ready to go. Kenny Dillingham might fit the mold. But the other thing,
you're right. It's going to be, especially we're talking like this is these are high profile jobs that are open.
Yeah,
and it's going to be somewhat of an arms race, right? You got to be strategic.
Yes,
it's a chess game. You can't move. I mean, you got to position yourself. If you got to move too, can't move too quickly, and you can't move too slowly because the guy you want might go somewhere else, or your backup plan. The guy you want doesn't want to leave, and then your backup plan's already gone to somewhere else.
This is the other thing that I find fascinating about it. We live in this era where everybody's looking for a blueprint or something like, hey, what can we copy and replicate? Is it not a little head-scratching that nobody's looking to A&M? And here's what I mean by that. Texas A&M has to spend the, whatever it was, $76 million for Jimbo.
Yep.
And I think half of it was due within 30 days. And then I think the rest is installments. A&M at first was going to go hire Mark Stoops.
Yeah.
Mark has the huge buyout, and then somebody in the room goes, wait a minute, we just spent all this money to get rid of Jimbo. And that's fine. We decided we want a new coach. We want to do that. But why not go get somebody that is very similar to Mark Stoops, but it's not that expensive, and Mike Elko, and let's build the whole thing around him. And guess what? It's looking pretty good right now.
It sounds like I read a story this week about ABC hiring Jimmy Kimmel over John Stewart, right?
Right.
They wanted John Stewart, but they went with Jimmy Kimmel because he was a cheaper but quality option.
They have the same agent.
Right. Same agent.
They're both Baby Doll Dixon clients. And guess
what?
Spent
a lot more money on John Stewart.
Correct.
But if we went in this way, I think we'll be successful as well.
Okay, let's also look at it this way. Yet again, we have another very expensive firing. Who are the guys that we would sit there and go, these are the best coaches? Again, I don't love him on game day, but you can't deny that Dan Lanning's not a good coach. Like, even I can't deny Dan Lanning's a very good coach. But Dan Lanning was the defensive coordinator at Oregon. They lose their head coach to Miami, and they sit there and go, give me that guy, and we'll build the operation around him. Kirby Smart, yes, he was an alum. Yes, he was a damn good dog. But he hadn't been a head coach. They went and got the guy they wanted, and they built around him. Once upon a time, Clemson had to have the same decision. Do we support Dabo or not? Dabo's never been a play caller, never been a coordinator. He was a recruiting coordinator and a receivers coach. And they built the thing around him. And I just keep waiting for, everyone just says, like, let's go big fish hunting and big game hunting as if it's going to be some type of slam dunk. To which I'm sitting there going, is nobody else doing the math? Like, if you want to get all of these guys, the money's got to come from somewhere. And that's money that could have been spent on something else. Yes, George.
I'm thinking to that point, like, on the, I guess, current situation with LSU, they don't just fire Brian Kelly. They also fire their offensive coordinator. All the talk has been, okay, are they going to get Lane? Are they going to go back to the well and get Joe Brady back from Buffalo? Do they not also already have one of the most high-profile and probably best defensive coordinators in college football in Baker?
They do. I guess the question would be: is does Baker still have?
Does he still have supporters in the room?
Or like, I don't. The other question is like the politics of it all.
Of course.
Now the governor,
which isn't the governor only involved because LSU doesn't have a president right now?
Well, yes and no. Also, he appoints. It's a 14-member board.
It's a panel.
And I believe he's already appointed six. And in his next, by the end of his next term, he will have promoted or appointed another 10 or another four for a total of 10.
Sure.
So it's not a nothing burger. Also, he can dish out money from the state.
This all sounds like a bad TV drama.
Oh, it's corrupt as hell.
The governor's getting involved in the decision.
If you've not read, Ross Dellinger over at Yahoo Sports has a fabulous breakdown of it. It is. I cannot recommend that.
I will definitely have to look at that. Ross is great.
Will we see, Jeffrey, which we've seen this year, Memphis been a victim of it, the interim wins, LSU's next game comes November 8th against Alabama.
I think Frank Wilson's a good man. Like, I actually covered him for a little bit. I like him. You hire Frank Wilson for a reason. Frank Wilson ain't getting the job.
They're not going to have the Ed Orgeron experience again.
Yep.
And so, like, that's why you end up doing what you do. But to your point, this is what I want to know was how much of yesterday, and this is where a lot of the media environment is detrimental to trying to sort all this out, because now the day that I saw Bruce Feldman, who is a very thorough and not exactly hell-bent on being first, he cares more about being right. But when I saw he had to have a list of candidates within like hours, I'm sitting there going, guys, there's no such thing as like a wish list right now. Like, they've just made the decision. What I would like to know is, behind the scenes, was this step one, let's just get rid of Kelly? Or is this in response to, if we don't do something now, it's going to impact who we might have? AKA, again, I'm not saying this is for sure, but what if? Auburn still's not fired their coach. And I did think one thing that was hilarious is the fact that Brian Kelly did get fired before Hugh Freeze. Like, that is truly funny to me. But what most people believe is Auburn is just riding it out for the time being, trying to keep as much of the roster, and then they're giving the thing to John Sumrall. Hmm. Well, what if LSU, because now that it seems quite likely that Scott Woodward, the AD, is maybe not going to have the power to go and unilaterally make a hire. What if behind the scenes, everyone's like, let's stop farting around and let's go get the Tulane guy that's winning big.
The guy who's just down the street recruiting the state extremely
well. And rather than let Auburn just have him, why don't we get him? Again, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but do y'all see that could have been something that's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's not a bad approach. And that more schools are going to be forced into making decisions like that, I think, in a lot of ways, as we've seen Lane Kiffins of the world possibly just stay where they're at or wait for
jobs. Like, the irony is all these schools could have hired Lane Kiffin at one moment or another.
Yeah, but, you know, they were going
through
that.
And granted, like, well, he hadn't.
They could have done the same thing. Like, Hugh Freeze was in that same boat where it was like these guys who had potential to be great but had the stigma with them. And Auburn just happened to go the Hugh Freeze route. Ole Miss happened to go the Lane
Kiffin
route.
Lane has never called hookers on his university-issued cell phone and then lied to his bosses about it.
I didn't say he did. I didn't say he did.
Like, I'm just saying,
but they both had a stigma to them that they weren't very, you know, they weren't touchable by serious big-time programs for a second. And then they both got their next opportunity, and Auburn went one way, Ole Miss went the other. I'm not saying either one made the right or wrong decision. I would have taken the risk on Hugh Freeze, honestly. I thought there was a chance, but it has not.
You should have come to my to my advising firm. My
I mean, I know you would have advised against
this
it.
This guy's not actually that good of a football coach. Y'all just freaked out because everything was so hell-bent.
Have you not seen The Blind Side?
He does. I don't know if you've read the book. He doesn't come across great in that one either. All right, we got to take a break, and let's get to Kevin's playoff minute. We got playoff projections. The Tigers are back in it. Let's see
some interesting matchups.
Let's see some of the matchups that Kevin has identified. We'll talk about it next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Kevin, our resident college football bracketologist, and really, I don't even know if I'd say bracketologist, compiler of bracketology.
Look, I'm a bracketologist. I study bracketology.
I feel like you study the study.
I study in the studying. It's not hard.
You're not doing your own brackets, but you're doing it.
I could start releasing a bracket.
It's market analysis.
You want to get in the content game, buddy.
We can start releasing. George, who created a cool graphic for us, will be great.
That's asking a lot.
It's easier to do bracketology when it's 12 teams versus how many are going to be in the NCAA tournament now?
748, all of them. Like, Coach K's won the year that his team was going to miss it, and he's like, everyone should be in the tournament. Like, yeah, he's won.
This one,
we're only going to have 68.
So after this past weekend, Memphis back in the top 25 in both polls, right there at number 25, bumping out South Florida, which until this week was their biggest competition and seems to remain to be in people's minds. You know, a lot of this is feeling still this time of year, Jeffrey. But the brackets are out, and most of them are projecting. I hope you want to go visit the great state of Georgia, because most of the 12-5 matchups, of course, if Memphis does make the college football playoffs, of course, Memphis has got to win out, so the path is still there. If Memphis wins out, I think it's safe to say they're there, right? Like, tell me the roadblock there. If they win out, they're winning the conference championship game at Simmons.
If they win out, they're in.
Yeah.
I think it's. I don't even think it's complicated. The roadblocks are, can you win out?
You gotta win the games that are in front of you,
correct,
which is going to be another game with South Florida more than likely in the championship. But maybe it could be Tulane, maybe it's a rematch again.
Maybe it's Tulane for the second time in whatever 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Right. It's gonna be not an easy game. I think you are likely
to see a team that you've already played and had a win against, and it's tough to win both, to sweep them.
And as we mentioned earlier in the show, it seems like Memphis has a schedule laid out which is unlike any that they've ever had as far as Fridays and Thursday Thanksgiving Day games that remain
Kevin,
here.
Those are featured spots.
Oh, yeah. It's great for the program, but
not great for everyone else.
Maybe it works out. Maybe it's the magic.
The midweek games are not great for fans.
Not great for fans. We'll see if it's great for Ryan Silfield and this particular
team. It's fine if you want to just watch your team on TV, but if you want to go and be in person, it's not great.
Oh, no. Thanks. Is that the play on Thanksgiving? All right, so Memphis 5-12. No, I'm saying we've got to go to Georgia, but it's not just against Georgia. So we've got either Georgia or Georgia Tech seem to be many of the projected opponents in a 5-12 matchup for the University of Memphis. Most brackets right now predicting Memphis versus Georgia in the opening round, which means Memphis would travel, of course, to Athens. But we could see a matchup where Coach Pastner's got to pick a side here, Georgia Tech versus the University of Memphis being projected by the folks over at CBS Sports as a possible matchup. They've got Ole Miss in an 8-9. That's all. The 8-9 in the college football playoffs. I love the 8-9s in March.
What's getting messy now is the top of the SEC, because you now have a situation where A&M is the program that it's always been promised to be. And again, we still have a month of football left, but like, does anyone think that this team all of a sudden like fraudulent? Like, they just show up week
this
after
is the
week.
Year.
They're remarkably stable. They're consistent, and like they are what they've always tried to present themselves as.
But now
you also have this situation where Bama has the tiebreaker with Georgia,
right, which is going to force Georgia out of the being in a great position, right? This
correct.
Put them playing Memphis possibly in the opening round.
You also have one loss Vandy, one loss Ole Miss. Like, you're starting to have this situation where, like, maybe there's starting to be some separation, but, like, Oklahoma with two losses feels like they have more losses coming up, but we still have two-loss Tennessee out there. Like, Tennessee has the opportunity to be to win out, and then they'd have a final game against Vandy, and it's like, is that a play-in game? Are both teams in if Tennessee wins and Vandy goes 10-2? Like, you start to get into the situation where you could have – if I'm Ole Miss – I am balls to the wall, 11-1. I still think a 10-2 SEC team gets in, but I do think there are scenarios where if you're 10-2 and you're starting to get compared to other 10-2 SEC teams, I don't know if you win the beauty contest.
Ole Miss is all around the bracketology right now.
Yes.
They've got a 6-11 match with BYU, according to On3 Sports. ESPN has got them matched up in the opening round. That's the...
They have the 6-11
Georgia Tech.
Tech,
yeah,
yes.
The Georgia
hosting
Tech.
Georgia Tech.
Right, and exactly. And then you've got them against Georgia in the 8-9 matchup from CBS Sports. So we do have some, like USA Today is still projecting Memphis not in the playoffs right now, that they've got South Florida there. They believe South Florida...
I think I saw the Athletic, I think, had Tulane in.
Tulane has been mentioned. And so there are, it's about who you believe can win out, right? Who you believe is going to win out the rest of the season. Because if South Florida beats Memphis in the championship, that is their way to get in, right? So they still have a chance. Just if the season ended today, Memphis is in that position. They're in that spot. That's
South Florida to me feels like the only true G5 team that can get in with two losses without chaos ensuing.
I would think so.
If their two losses are Memphis on the road and Miami on the road, and then they get revenge. If they came to the Liberty Bowl
and beat Memphis,
like that feels like they could erase that.
That's fair. That's
and it feels like they'd get the benefit of the doubt over Boise
and their scheduling, yeah,
because they won the head to head so convincingly.
Exactly, I agree with that. So that's where we stay in Memphis right now. This week it's a big Georgia matchup, even though the Ole Miss game is still in play. What do you think, Jeffrey? So there's five SEC schools right now that are in. I mean, you made a note. I mean, earlier in the season. Are you not more confident about Alabama, Texas A&M, and Georgia just in general? Do we have a best team? Do you feel like Texas A&M is officially the best team? You've been wondering that for weeks. Is A&M the best team in the SEC? Can they carry the flag? Or until they win the conference championship, you'll feel like we need to pass them the SEC flag for Texas A&M?
I feel like Texas A&M is more complete than Georgia and Bama. I think...
I tend to agree.
Like, I think...
Maybe the high-level talent might not be as high, but top to bottom, they feel the most well-rounded.
Like, when I'm thinking about both units,
yeah,
offense and defense, like, I also, like, with Georgia...
I mean, A&M hasn't lost yet, so, like,
yeah,
they haven't seen
like, yeah. But, like, but in fairness, to A&M, like, they haven't played Bama or Georgia. You know what I mean? Like, A&M...
Correct, yeah.
But they have beaten Notre Dame on the road. Like, I'm more looking at...
They beat LSU, I believe, as well, didn't they, this past weekend?
According to reports. They took the belt off for that game, is what they did.
But, like, I think about it in these terms. It's like, do they have the best defense? Maybe not. Do they have the best offense? Maybe not. But it's like, when you look at their offense and defense combined,
yes.
I like their offense and defense in combination better than I like Georgia's offense and defense combination, and Alabama's defense and offense combination.
And they've almost pretty much locked in their spot, right? It's going to be hard for them to fall. Not necessarily just to fall out of the playoffs.
I think
they're going to get a playoff.
I think some books took A&M's playoff odds off.
Already off.
They're in. They're going to be in the playoffs, whether or not they're going to have the bye or home field advantage. They're going to be in there somewhere.
Because so, like even a game that was going to be interesting, like they have to go to Missouri.
Without Prabula or their backup, that I think Missouri is pretty much cooked. South Carolina, what an absolute just dagger this weekend, the way that game played out. And then they have Sanford and Texas.
Yeah.
The first four out, you had Missouri, Texas Tech, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame from many reports. And of the four teams that are not in it, according to On3 Sports right now. And it really makes you look at Cincinnati, right? Like, be careful what you wish for, because this Cincinnati team is pretty good. This is an awesome Cincinnati team. They changed conference. If they were in the conference.
I feel like some of us were here early.
I was like,
you're going to look up, and we're going to get to the end of October, and you're like, they're 7-1? And they just beat the absolute bricks off of, or the brakes off of Baylor this weekend.
Right.
That's a job that we talk about could be open.
Wanting to be in a
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.